Glory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. I do want to thank all of our veterans. Last week, I got a picture from Brother Keys for the veteran service, and we appreciate all of those that have served our country, and we thank you for your service. And I know that are still in the terms of first responders and those sorts of positions of service are at times you never know what's going to happen. And we've been praying for the area out in California. I know we have a church in Paradise, California, and I have not been able to hear about how it is, although it seems that most of that city was devastated by fire and numerous lives lost. So it's something to pray for and to ask God to keep his hand on them, and maybe use it to turn them into a place of seeking God or revival. I know that we have a miracle. We heard about Sister Rogers this Friday as well. She had last year, I'm seeing if I have this story straight. If not, she'll give you the straight of it. Last year had tests, and her kidneys, I think it goes from 1 to 5, and her kidneys were at a 2 with possible kidney failure imminent. I think if you reach 5, maybe it's dialysis. Is that right? So they wanted to do tests every year to see where those are. And this year, it was down to a 1, and they were confused because it's not supposed to go backwards. But you know what? We know a God that is able to help and able to turn the reports backwards. Amen? And so that's the kind of God we serve. And so those, I am excited about what the Lord is doing and has done. And I know this week will be, I think, Acts and Ladies' Prayer, but Wednesday night we will have no service, and because of Thanksgiving, and then there'll be no cell meeting on Thursday night, and then Sunday morning we will have service, but not Sunday evening. So don't forget all of those announcements this coming week, and we are having to go to a wedding. I know Grant and Aubrey are getting married, not this week, but the next, and we'll be in DCD for that. But we are thankful that all of you could be here today. We started a lesson on Wednesday night, and I began the lesson, and I apologized Wednesday for the handout because it was actually overwhelmingly, if you will, heavy in verses and scriptures. I did some of that believing that, in fact, some of our young people could have it for themselves to teach about conquering some of the things that they will have to conquer. We know we are what?
Growing apostolic legacy.
And that's awesome because we are growing and we are apostolic and we have a tremendous legacy here and a tremendous history. Not only in people, but in our facilities, and we're thankful for all of that, and thankful for these young people. In fact, as I said, we had 12, not this past Friday night, but a week ago, that wanted to study the Word of the Lord. And we started on Search for Truth, or actually Exploring God's Word. It's a new one. And I got some books for them already. They came in. If you were part of that class, come see me. But and you don't have to take one of these lesson sheets. That's strictly up to you. And you don't have to have it. But it's not a pretty handout. I apologize. I did it for Wednesday, and then realizing that I would be out of pocket and Thanksgiving, and gave all these verses, I thought, well, I will at least try to maybe this morning and tonight touch on some of it, because the gift, and we were studying in Genesis with these young folks, and the gift that was indicated in Genesis, the first chapter, was in the 26th and 27th verse. If you got one Wednesday, this handout has the front and back. It's a little different. I didn't do the backs on Wednesday. But it is, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Everyone say dominion. And dominion, and there are dominion, and I put four categories. There could be five categories, 10 categories. There's not a, and I call them the four S's, although the last word is not an S, but it kind of sounds like an S. It is dominion over sin, dominion over yourself, dominion over Satan, and dominion over circumstances. And I know that, you know, the Bible says that we battle the world, we battle the lust of the flesh, and we battle the devil. And so you could say, you know, maybe circumstances would be the world, if you will, and maybe Satan, of course, the devil, and then self being lust of the self, lust of the flesh, and then sin just ultimately being what God did for us on Calvary, and how powerful it is to we realize that his blood is still flowing today. And I know Sister Tilly is here. We've been praying for her and asking God to touch her. She had a bad diagnosis again. And so, you know, and yet the main conqueror, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, the main thing besides lust of the flesh, the pride of life, or the world, and Satan, above those three enemies that we will fight, the first one that you have to conquer is sin, is the fact of having sin conquered in your life. And now, I know that becomes very difficult, because sometimes individuals want to believe what they want to believe that the Lord meant, and not what the Lord said. But they want to believe that, well, the Lord understands, it's okay if I do this, and doesn't the Lord want me to this, and doesn't the Lord want me to have that, and doesn't the, you know, and that's not truly conquering sin. And yet there is the fact that we can strive for perfection. Doesn't mean that you'll be perfect, but we ought to live that every day, like we want to live closer to God every day. Amen. And Psalm says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visited him, you've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, and has made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. And so when we were made in the garden, it was to have dominion. And yet Adam and Eve were without sin in the garden. And finally they disobeyed God. And it was that disobedience that broke the place of the presence of God. And actually, the Bible talks about, you know, by the sweat of your brow and sorrow and all of those things. And yet Jesus came to say, if the Son hath made you free, you are going to be free indeed. I am thankful that he died on Calvary to defeat sin.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, that's something we, you know, and I, on this handout, as I said, please forgive me because I put a ton of scriptures, and I'm not going to read all of those today, but we know the familiar ones. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I understand. You know, sometimes folks say, well, when are you saved? And when? And I know, read Acts the 19th chapter. We can talk about that, how that they were disciples, and yet they didn't even know about the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know about baptism in Jesus' name. And yet they called finding certain disciples in Ephesus. And so when God, how, where God? I don't know. But the fact is, there is an understanding through the Word of God that, you know, that repentance should be that first part of whenever I realize he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when I reach a point where I am able to say, Lord, it's amazing, you have shed your blood on Calvary, therefore I am able to repent, I'm able to ask you to forgive me, I'm able to turn my life around, I am able to do different than what I've been doing, and I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but I don't have to live in subjection to sin. Sin is not greater than I am. And that's why John the Baptist, who was preaching in Matthew, he told the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, called them snakes. And I mentioned Wednesday, that would not be your politically correct statement. And he said, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. In other words, I want to see your works. It's not that works save you. You can't do this without the blood. You can't live right without the blood. You can't expect, and you say, well, what about the baptism in Jesus' name? Well, that's because we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection, which is what the gospel says. And I put it on your handout, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so we realize that because he died, we can live a different life. And so when John said, I baptize you in water under repentance, there's coming one after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. This is not something that you have to say, oh, it's a work and you're making me do that. It's a free gift. You'll never get it if you feel like you've got to work for it. But you've just got to raise your hands and begin to thank God. I am so thankful that you've offered me the gift of the Holy Ghost. Your Spirit can live inside of me. And as you begin to praise and magnify the Lord will begin to flow through you. And out of your mouth and out of your belly, the Bible says, will flow rivers of living water. And so I read a lot of verses, but that we've covered that Wednesday night. And so you can flip the page to the back. We're talking about the four S's. Sin has been defeated, and it's a powerful, and I really feel bad not stressing it more to this morning, but we did Wednesday night for almost an hour talking about how that sin was defeated. And there are thousands of verses, and you can go through the history of the Old Testament and the New and so forth. And yet here we are. And now, not only sin can be defeated, but yourself. You can have victory over yourself. I know at times I feel like I don't have any willpower. And at times, and you know, this is not the best Sunday to preach on this. given Thanksgiving is coming, you know. And we tend to overindulge, at least I'm guilty of that, you know, starting maybe a little early. And yet, most of the time, you know, our response, according to psychologists, is either fight or flight. That's how we react. And I'm here to tell you that there's the third reaction once you've conquered sin, and that is a faith reaction. Now, we all ourselves will react fight or flight, and I've, you know, been honest with you and told you about, you know, how when I'm getting impatient or when I get frustrated, and in fact, you know, some of you have said, wow, Pastor, you need help, and that's true. But according to the word of the Lord, when I am overwhelmed by fear or by anger, somehow I am not having a faith response. Now, I know, and I'm looking at folks that have been through some horrific situations, and it's easy to have a human moment. I am not at all attacking anybody that's ever had a fearful or an angry moment. But that's not what God is able to give you the victory over. You can conquer that through the help and the power of Almighty God. Your fears can be conquered by the Spirit. Your anger can be conquered through the Spirit. I understand that there are biblical examples of people that had fear. Elijah, powerful prophet, had seen amazing revival, had seen amazing supernatural feats. He watched as fire fell and destroyed, licked up a sacrifice, even the dust, the water. He stood in an unbelievable position of experiencing a phenomenal supernatural experience with God. Not only that, he went and prayed and watched as rain fell. And yet, in the 19th chapter, when Jezebel did not repent and said, I'm going to kill you, he got fearful. You would think, I just called fire down from heaven. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. I mean, you know, I guess that's why, you know, it's like, if I can call fire down, I don't have any fear. I would think, I mean, you know, none of us, but, you know, sometimes people that have fire in their pocket can fire it, can be tough. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? You know, like, look at me. My gun's bigger than your gun. I got fire in my pocket. Countries. I got more nukes than you got. Huh? I got more planes than you got. I got more bombs than you got. You're not going to push me around. I mean, we all heard about little Rocket Man. As soon as he got a missile, what was he doing? You better look at me. I'm tough. Kim Jong-un, whatever his name was. Huh? Because I got fire. I'm not afraid. Wow. But Elijah got afraid. And the Bible says he went for his life. And he went a day's journey. He walked out in the middle of the desert, sat under a juniper tree, and he said, oh God, I want to die. It is enough. Oh Lord, take away my life. for I am not better than my fathers. What he was doing is looking at his life, looking at his history, looking at his family, looking at who he was, and he became very fearful. And we know the story. The Lord had to wake him up and feed him and bring him and all of those wonderful things. But don't ever tell yourself that if you've ever had to battle fear, that you're out of good company. Elijah battled it, and you wouldn't think he would have had it. I mean, it was a woman that said, I'm going to kill you. The Lord had just wiped out 450 of her prophets. Who did he think she was going to send?
Right. Amen.
Right.
Huh? And yet that spirit of fear got a hold of him. You would have thought he'd have said, huh, bring it on, sister. You see what I did to those other prophets, huh? Who do you think you are? But no, it's easy to get a spirit of fear. That's an enemy's job. In fact, a preacher in the New Testament was the son, spiritual son of Paul, Timothy, who began struggling with fear. And have you ever, I mean, whether it's a panic attack or it's fear, or fear that this is going to happen or fear that that's going to happen, and we've all had fear try to attack us and attack our mind. And Paul told Timothy, he said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I am persuaded it was in your grandmother, it was in your mother. And he said, there is faith in you. How? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. I know we laid our hands on you. You received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was a spark of faith there. He said, I'm telling you, stir that up. That's what you're going to have to do when the spirit of fear comes on you. You have to stir up the gift of God that was putting on, that was in you by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There is nothing that can destroy a child of God without God allowing it to happen. And so you say, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm saying that somehow I don't know why God's doing this, and I don't know why this is happening, and I don't know why what's going on, but what I do know is the Lord's got this, and it's going to all be all right. I don't have to respond with flight, with fear. Of course, the other side of that, I can respond with faith. That's what Paul said. The other side of that is the fight part, anger. You know, that's... most of us battle those two emotions, either fear, worry, concern, or we battle the emotion of anger. Maybe not you. And I hear people say all kinds of things. Well, that's because I'm Swedish or I'm Irish or I'm French or I'm... I was raised in that, and I understand, but that's just the way it is. Have a child and... they'll get frustrated. They'll get mad. There were people in the Bible that had to battle that. As a matter of fact, Jonah. We read, you remember the story of Jonah? Jonah and the whale, and he's supposed to go to Tarshish and supposed to go to Nineveh, rather, and he went the opposite direction and got in a boat, and the whale, they had a storm, and they threw him over, and a great fish swallowed him and then swam around and spit him up. You remember all that? Well, he comes out, he preaches, people are converted, repent. You know what Jonah says? Chapter 4, he gets very mad because after Jonah preached, he went up to the mountain to watch God wipe him out. And he sits down and he says, all right, God, destroy him. I told you. I told them they were sinners. I told them they were reprobates, and they're Syrians, and I don't even like them. And I preached to them, and so God wiped them out. And so the Lord says, I don't know that I'm going to, and he got mad just waiting on God to kill them. Now, can you imagine? The Bible says he was very angry. That's what the Bible says. And he finally prayed angry. You know, have you ever prayed angry? Lord, I knew it. And this is what he said. He said, I knew it, I knew it. When you spoke to me in my country and you told me to come here, the reason I went to Tarshish was I knew what was going to happen. I knew it. I knew I'd go preach and then they'd repent and you'd forgive them. Can you imagine? That's a preacher. Can you imagine me saying, Lord, I got up this morning and I preached and somebody came to the altar and got the Holy Ghost and I just knew it. They shouldn't have gotten it. I mean, you would say, man, what kind of guy is this? He ought to want everybody to be saved and to be turn their life to God, to repent. Jonah was so angry because, you know why? Because he didn't really think they deserved it. They were a little bit lower class than him. They were mean. They were horrible. They were horrible people. They had been horrible people. They had come and attacked Israel. They had a bad history. And so as far as he was concerned, they're lowlifes and they don't even deserve knowing God. That's what he said. He said, I knew you were gracious. I knew you were merciful. I knew you were slow to anger. I knew you were great kindness. And I knew you would change your mind. That's how angry he got. Now, I don't think any of us ever been that angry that we would be mad over somebody. I mean, you know, we might say, well, this made me mad or that made me mad, but not so mad that somebody is living for God or trying. Imagine. In fact, he even said, kill me, Lord. I'd rather die than to even be associated with them. And so the Lord said, is this good that you're so angry? Is this good that you're so bent out of shape here? And you say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. And what the key is, that's why in the New Testament, Paul said, be angry and sin not. Neither let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give your place to the devil. What are you saying is when you are letting yourself run into anger and you're letting your emotions run into anger, you're missing an opportunity to be thankful. You're missing an opportunity to thank God. You're missing an opportunity to rejoice. You're missing an opportunity. And so the enemy is ultimately winning. Whatever it is that he makes you so angry about, whatever it is that gets under your skin, that gets your goat, whatever it is, all of a sudden, you know, when your thinking gets off track, and the Lord was very clear about our thinking. In fact, he said one time, he said, you know, the law says don't murder. I say don't even say raka. I don't even verbally say I wish they were dead or I want to murder them or I can't stand them. And then he said, what the law says don't commit adultery. I'm saying don't even think about it in your heart. What are you talking about? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Why is that so against faith? Because whether it's fear or whether it's flight, or whether it's fight, or whether it's anger, or it's a resistance ourself, then all of a sudden, all the days that I am caught up in fear, I am not able to praise God like I need to. All the days that I'm caught up, or the minutes in anger, I'm not able to be thankful like I need to. And so if the enemy can keep keep me angry and can keep me fearful. Then I quit learning how to say, Lord, you are good. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad. I will be excited. Why? Because I'm so angry or fearful. That's why I tell folks, be careful. You know, if you listen to so much talk radio, sometimes you can find yourself so angry, huh? Or so afraid. It's not a faith response. Why? What's my faith response? Well, you know what? The Lord's got the world in the palm of his hand. I read an article this week that somehow that they now discovered that in the Pacific Ocean there's a rift that is taking in more water than they ever thought. And they said they're not sure what's going on, but they think that the planet is warming up and the water is coming in, and you know, and yet we've been told that all of a sudden when the ice melts that the water is going to raise and flood, and yet they don't know how and what and what's happening. You know why? This world is not my home. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of what's happening. We have to be a good steward, yes, but I am so thankful that, you know what, I don't have to live in a sense of fear, because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. He is able. I know it can be tough, and I understand. I know I've been through illnesses in my family and personally, and you go, oh God, I'm afraid. But at some point, you have to bring all of those thoughts into captivity and say, but Lord, you're still great and greatly to be praised. I'm still going to magnify you. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know you've got it in the palm of your hands. I'm not going to let myself run loose and rampant. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How? According to what? Power. That's why the enemy wants to attack us with fear and anger, is because we lose our faith. It all of a sudden saps our faith. And that, how do you restore your faith? It's by restoring the word. Lord, you know, quoting the word. In fact, Paul told him in Romans, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Another place he said, I die daily. Well, why are you doing that? Why do you have to do that? Because I realize this is a battle to get me off track. And the next thing that we can dominate, and that what's so powerful about that is, you know what? I know you may not have a lot of willpower, and I know you may have had all kinds of, and I've had people tell me, you know, I've been drinking since I was 10 or smoking since I was 9. But you know what? The Lord can make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's able to change everything. And you just say, well, it's not easy. I understand that. But that's why you stay connected, intertwined into the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? You know, and why? You know, because it's greater than me. Here, you know, here's my willpower. It's a little thread. I have to see if I can get it undone. You know, here's just a little bit of thread. Don't have much willpower. I don't have it, Pastor. And so, can you break that thread? That's my willpower. Just break that for me. Yeah. First little thing. She broke it. But what's powerful about all of this is it's not me. Just by myself. But going to wind this thread through this, just this little tiny chain. I'm going to try to get her to break it again. Because she broke that first time pretty easy. What are you doing, Pastor? That's why I'm in the altar. That's why I'm reading the Word. What are you doing? I'm wrapping myself in something that's a whole lot stronger. And this isn't as big and as powerful as God is. This is just a little old piece of something I got from Home Depot last night. You know, what am I saying? I'm saying if you'll wrap yourself through every link and you'll say, God, I want to get in your presence. I want in your word. I want your word in my mind. I want to read your word. All of a sudden, it's not my willpower, but I've got myself attached to the heaven's throne. My anchor holds. Where is it? It's inside the veil. That way, no matter what happens, I know, you know what, God, you're greater somehow. I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to magnify you, because I realize that, you know what, I don't belong here anyway. I belong on a heavenly shore somewhere. I'm going to tie myself to God. That's where self is. And the next one, Satan, and it's on your page on the back. And I know we can read the verses in Isaiah and Ezekiel about Satan and how he had a very self-centered idea and all of that. And I will arise, I will sit on the throne, and the king of Tyre. And yet Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he was back there in the very beginning. Do you understand that? There's verses that call him, and I put them on your paper, the father of liars, a roaring lion, accuser of the brethren, a dragon, a master of deception. In fact, he will come as an angel of light. He has a desire to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. In Revelation, he said, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What are you saying? I'm saying that there is nothing that Satan can do, because God has already outplanned him. Yes. In every way. Hallelujah. Not only is he all of those things, but, you know, Satan fell. He thought he was going to destroy mankind. And yet here comes the second Adam. That's why Paul said it like this. Howbeit we speak of wisdom of them among them that are perfect, yet not wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world, which God ordained when? Before the world, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they would have known it, they would not have crucified.
Right.
Excited about Brother Tim. And there have been many times that I've visited with him the last several months. And he would make this statement. He would say, the devil just doesn't realize who he's messing with.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
The devil just doesn't realize what he's that he's already been defeated. At some point, that's the kind of attitude you've got to embrace, or you will find yourself, the enemy, doing everything he can to overwhelm you, either with fear or with anger or with something. But what you have to recognize is, you know what? I'm going to use the word of God, just like Jesus did whenever he fought the devil in Matthew, the 4th chapter. He said, "It is written." That's why I grab the word of God. It's not my words, but I'm grabbing another word. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to resist the devil, and he is going to have to flee. I've told people, pray the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians 6 and say, "Lord, anoint my head with salvation, and my feet with salvation, and my head with the gospel," and all, and go through and pray the word of God and pray the armor of God and say, "I'm fighting against the devil." Start learning how to plead the blood. That was an old thing. What are you saying? "Lord, it's not by my might nor by my power, but I need your blood. I need your blood to cover me today. I need your blood to touch me today." Why? I'm fighting the enemy today. Proverbs says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous... What are you saying? I'm saying, I know what to do. And I've had people say, "Well, I know what to do, but I just don't do it." Well, you've got to learn how to do it when you're fighting the enemy. And the more we find ourselves fighting the enemy these days, we're going to have to say, "You know what? I'm going to rely on the word of God. I'm going to wrap myself in through the presence of Almighty God. I'm going to wrap myself and plead the blood. I'm going to put the armor on. I'm going to read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and literally imagine putting on the armor. I'm going to start praising God." The Bible talks about that in Psalms and in Isaiah, in Zechariah. You know, he talks about when he told Timothy, he said, "Stir up the gift." There's just something about stirring up the gift of God that will bring the power over the enemy. And in fact, one time whenever the disciples tried to cast the devil out and they couldn't, he said, "Well, start fasting. Add prayer and fasting." And I'm not trying to tell you what you have to do, but sometimes when you're battling a spirit of, whether it's depression or anger or frustration or the enemy, or you're battling something the devil's thrown at you, that's the time to arm yourself like you've never fought and say, "I'm going to plead the blood. I'm going to pray. I'm going to..." Why? Because ultimately the Son is set free. I'm not going to allow that to control me. I'm going to control that through the help, not my might nor my power, but because of your spirit. In fact, one thing that we don't even talk much about this, and it's okay. I'll talk about circumstances tonight, but one thing that's probably we don't do much is realize that there are angels that encamp around about us. And I'm not saying you need to pray toward your angels, but I'm saying you need to realize, guess what? They're ministering spirits. I've prayed. I've said, "Lord, give me strength. Send something right now. Huh? Give me a word. Send somebody. Send something." And I know we're fixing to go into 40 days of fire in just a few days. And it's not a good week to call fasting. But you know what? We've been battling some real tough things. And I know I've tried myself to say, "Lord, I want to honor you a little more. Arm myself a little better." Why? Because it's a real battle. I wish I could tell you that, okay, we've had the midterms and now everybody loves everybody. Crime's gone, sin's gone, you don't have to worry. It's not. But I'm so thankful I been given victory over sin. I don't have to let my flesh dictate to me. Huh? I don't have to let, well, I just can't stop the feeling. I have a power I can tap into. Oh, I just can't control my thoughts. Oh, no. I have dominion over all of that. I have power over all that. Oh, you have willpower? No. This is what I got. It's not much. But oh, when I have wrapped myself through the presence of God, all of a sudden, I come out realizing, you know what? Greater is He that's in me, that's through me. I know, I look around and all of these individuals that have been going through some stuff, and I go, oh God, maybe you don't, but I think, oh God, could I do it? I don't know that I could do it. And then I realize, you know what? They're not doing it by themselves. They're not doing it by themselves. They're doing it because they've intertwined themselves with something much greater and much stronger. When you see and read of individuals that have taken their life over and taken the lives of others over foolish things. I made a bad grade on a test, took my life. Didn't like the fact that my parents wouldn't let me, whatever. I killed them, killed my, huh? My wife was telling me somewhere in Ohio they found out what was a custody battle over a child. 8 people got killed. Not in New York, Ohio. I don't want to see my kid, your kid, anger. My willpower. The only thing I can do is wrap myself through the presence of Almighty God. You here today? I'm going to tell you, you're going to battle yourself. You're going to battle the devil. And last but not least, and we'll talk about it some tonight if you're here, but we're going to battle circumstances. Circumstances attack us. Life attacks us. And you have to battle that. But guess what? The Lord is able to give victory over circumstances. Why? Because whom the Son has set free. Free indeed. Let's stand. Hallelujah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
If you need strength this morning,
He goes before me.
There's a chain you can link yourself through.
Defender behind me.
Hallelujah.
I
you feel like you're battling a fight for your life, your mind, your heart, there's a chain that you can wrap yourself through. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can have it today. If you're fighting sin, you can be delivered today.